Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Thursday Night Football tonight features the Eagles and the Giants at 8:15. Tonight at 7, the Panthers host the Philadelphia Flyers and the Miami Heat. They did lose to the San Antonio Spurs 112-107. They will face Orlando Sunday at 6. On the weather, sponsored by Chill Zone AC. Featuring reliable Rude AC systems, make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com. Temperatures in the high 70s right now with a chance of rain throughout the day. I am Dan Day. Now back to the Joe Rose Show here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
Welcome back in here on WQAM on this Thursday morning. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day, Jamie Long here with you. And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Alan Poupart. He is the publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI. He's also the host of the All Dolphins podcast. Alan, good morning. How's everything going, my friend?
He also stars in the Dolphins Collective as well.
There you go. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
You know, Alan, honestly, we're not great this morning. Omar and I have been butting heads a little bit here on this whole how to fix the Dolphins problem and whose fault is it and all this. And
we know it's Tua's fault.
He has numbers after numbers after numbers.
There he goes.
He will spew numbers until you can't take it anymore as far as Tua goes.
And this,
Alan,
is a numbers
my
guy.
Eyes tell me one thing, the numbers tell me another. Can you settle the debate here? Where are we on this quarterback who you heard his stuff from yesterday, you know, it doesn't really bother him all that much because he goes home and he's got his kids and stuff at home. Where are you on this whole Tua situation?
Oh man, there's a lot to unpack here. I have been listening, and I'm more on your side, Hollywood, than I am on Omar's, as far as the media and the question about what he thinks about the other quarterback in the AFC. That could not bother me less, to be honest with you, in the grand scheme of things. Now, here's where I'm going to go with Omar. First of all, please stop. I'm begging you, stop with the. Of course, it's everything's Tua's fault. Everybody's blaming nobody but Tua. Nobody is doing that.
Everybody's doing that.
Nobody is doing that, though. Nobody watches the games and knows what they're talking about.
That's nobody
is saying it's all Tua's fault. No one's doing that. The whole team sucks.
Like, you couldn't stop. Stop a nosebleed.
There was nothing good
on Sunday
about what the Dolphins did on Sunday.
Tua missed on Jalen Waddle.
Like,
in
Alan,
the final
maybe
throw.
You could help us too. Like, was there a positive to take away from Sunday's game? And then we can get back to this Tua stuff. But there was nothing good about Sunday.
Jake Bailey kicked us.
Tua had a very efficient game
when it counted. And this is where, Omar, this is where you are dropping the ball, my friend. And you know we're booze, but holy smokes, because you keep throwing out, and it's amazing, you keep throwing out the passing numbers and the passing numbers and the passing numbers and the passer rating and all that. And I looked up some stuff for you this morning because I knew we were going to have this little chat. There's the expression in golf, you know, you drive for show, putt for dough. Fourth quarter passer rating, and I know you're big on passer rating. Tua is at 88.7. That ranks 23rd in the NFL. Sorry, that's with a score, with the margin within a score, plus or eight minus points.
Take that, Omar. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you love it. And I was listening to you guys, and you mentioned like Tua's killing it on third down. You know what? As I'm watching, yeah, like the Dolphins are doing well on third down. Tua's passer rating on third down this season is 75.6. I think you and I both know those are not good numbers. So yes,
where does that rank in the NFL?
22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I am with you. Tua had overall a pretty good game against Carolina, but you have got to get it done. And this wasn't the first time. This was the third time this year. And by the way, you mentioned about how Carolina ran it well against the Dolphins. They absolutely did. Their run defense was absolutely pathetic. Guess what? Dolphins still had the ball with a 1:54, 3 timeouts left, and they went 3 and out. And
what happened? How did they go 3 and out? What was the third down play? Was he given adequate protection?
He also had Devon. Look at the film again. He had Devon Achane leaking out of the backfield where he could have dumped the ball off, and that was
going to get him a first down.
No, but at worst, it would have gotten them 3 or 4 yards. Where then they probably go for it on 4th and 7 or 4th and 6. And I'm the third down play is not all on Tua, because obviously Jonas Avainaya was beaten way too easily at the snap. But again, to say it was everybody else's fault but Tua. This is where you lose me, and you lose a lot of non-Tua supporters.
Okay?
And this came after first down pass to Waddle when he's completely covered, and the second down pass where he felt pressure, shuffled his feet, never reset his feet, and floated it past it to Waddle, who was wide open for about 15 yards.
Why wasn't he comfortable?
The third time this year.
Why wasn't he comfortable?
That's a he problem, because guess what? Because life in the NFL as a quarterback, you are going to get pressure. It happens. And if you look around the NFL, there are a lot of quarterbacks who deal with pressure as much as Tua does, if not more. And you're going to see one of those on Sunday with Justin Herbert, where you're going to see all of a sudden, very possibly, how good the Dolphins pass rush can look.
What if we don't? See how good Dolphins pass rush can look against Justin Herbert.
Then Herbert is going to light him up, but I that would be the massive indictment on Dolphins pass rush, because that offense, Chargers offensive line, which has injuries up the wazoo, like Tampa Bay's, like Dallas's, like Minnesota's, not just the Dolphins, who are missing 2 starters on their offensive line. And if the Dolphins pass rush can't get any pressure on Justin Herbert, and again, not that it necessarily would be overly shocking given the way this season has gone so far, but that would be another major bummer for any sort of optimism that might exist.
Alan Poupart here with us. Alan, let's look big picture on this thing here. And, you know, look, it does not appear the Dolphins are going anywhere this season. Omar seems to think a turnaround is possible. Not likely, but possible. I just think after what we saw in the last game, it is, I don't want to say 0% chance, but it seems incredibly unlikely something is just going to magically, you know, some switch is going to magically get flipped here and they're just going to, you know, start winning games. But when we look big picture here, should this thing continue down this road, Alan, what needs to happen? I mean, do we start, you know, finding other guys to play in some of these positions, namely quarterback? Do we find someone else to start trading off assets? Do we find someone else to coach this football team? Like, what do you think is going to be the road here ahead for this Dolphins franchise, should things continue going this way?
Well, if I may answer the first part first, not that you asked me, but I'm with Omar on this one. It's like the idea of shutting the door on the possibility of a turnaround to me is kind of silly, because again, I'm going to go back to the fact that they're 1-4. They also had the ball in their hands on offense late in the game with a chance to either take the lead or tie 3 of the 4 of the losses.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So all of a sudden, is those situations, you know, they produce better results. It can turn around, and they were 1-4 in 2016. And I know circumstances were different. They were 1-4 in 2021, and they went on a 7-game winning streak. So
you believe, well, if you had to put a percent on it, let's say the Dolphins probably have to finish 9-3, right, to make the playoffs.
Okay.
What percent would you put on it that the Dolphins go 9-3 down the stretch after what we just saw on Sunday?
Oh, 15 at best, but it's not, again, it's pretty high. It's higher than 0 and slightly less than Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance.
Okay.
At what
so
point,
let's let him get back to what we were saying, though, like as far as like the ahead. Big picture here, what what's the road ahead look like?
Well, if it doesn't get straightened out, then I think you're probably looking at a new head coach, probably a new GM, and though it wouldn't surprise me if the current GM was reassigned to a different post in the front office. And I know you know my thoughts on Tua overall. I know your thoughts on Tua. Mm-hmm. He's still got that $56 million cap number for 2026. I don't think there's an automatic that he gets dumped. And yes, Denver did it with Russell Wilson last year. I don't know exactly how many organizations around the NFL would have been willing to make the move the Broncos did. So I think he might be 50-50, depending on how high a draft pick.
Oh, he's higher than 50-50. Dump him and do what? Kirk Cousins? Russell Wilson?
We're going to go again with that argument.
Shedeur Sanders?
Argument with Tua all along. Oh, and Omar, it's getting
Deshaun
worse.
Watson.
Hold on. Can I?
Yeah.
It's getting worse because the AFC not only has now Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Yes, I'm going to do it. Drake May is going to be a problem. Justin Herbert is a problem. C.J. Stroud, if again, you want to talk about guys operating behind bad offensive line, C.J. Stroud's another one. Those guys are all, to me, a clear notch.
Notch better than Tua, but yet they don't complete as many passes. They don't throw as many passes percentage. They don't throw as many touchdowns.
Stop saying numbers. Stop. Leave the numbers alone. Allen,
passer rating numbers.
Alan, I want maybe next game. Can you do this in the press box? Can you put a camera on Omar? I want to see if he actually watches the game or if he sits there with his face buried in a computer looking at numbers. Because at the end of the day, like, you have to watch the game.
He's not clutch.
And you have to do the eye test.
He's not clutch.
Patrick Mahomes' numbers are not great, right? Like, you have to do the eye test. It's not all about numbers.
Are we really comparing any quarterback to Patrick Mahomes?
We're making a point about
I'm not, but I'm just saying, if you're going to keep spewing these numbers, which mean nothing.
Okay.
He's a looter in a riot, man. Like, yes, when the going is good against the bad teams.
Numbers. Okay. Against the bad teams.
Okay.
I don't believe you're playing a series of bad teams right now or injury depleted teams, and there is no given that you're going to actually win those games. So I don't buy the played a bad team in Carolina allegedly, but when you're a bad team, there is no such thing as a bad team.
Fine, Alan, I got to get back to one thing that you said though. This Chris Greer thing. You said reassigned. What are we talking? We talking like food and beverage, director, or are we talking something in the front office? Like, what are we talking here? Because I don't want fans to start storming the building here this morning.
No, where he would be more like in an advisory role without necessarily personnel powers.
An advisory role.
So, and let me throw another one back at Omar. For 3 years, all you kept spewing about Tua.
He's got it.
Like, look at the one loss record. Well, guess what? The Dolphins are 1-4 this year. So doesn't that say that he's not having a good year?
Absolutely.
Despite whatever passer rating. Okay.
It's a good 1-4 though. They've been close, right? Isn't that what you're saying? It's a good 1-4.
Everything that's wrong with the Miami Dolphins.
The best 1-4 team in football.
Everything that's wrong with the Miami Dolphins is Tua's fault.
By the same token, when they were having a good record and you kept pointing to that, it wasn't all because of Tua. It works both ways.
Okay. Now he's at fault. He's the reason why play defense.
Stop doing that. Because there's multiple problems. Right? Stop doing that. Alan, before we let you run, Alan, your thoughts on Sunday. What can the Dolphins do to win this game? I'm guessing the Chargers are probably going to go into this game with a game plan of let's just run the football. Regardless of who's running it at this point, just run the ball and we'll be fine. How do the Dolphins adjust? Do they have a chance to win this football game?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. They do. Cause the Chargers offensive line is a complete sieve right now. And something I want to point out is I wrote about this on MiamiDolphinsOnSI.com, but folks are acting like Rico Dowdle was like some schlub that they just picked up from a college campus 2 weeks ago. You realize the dude had 4 100-yard rushing games with Dallas at the end of last season. Okay. And finished the year with over 1,000 yards. Now the guys the Dolphins are going to face on Sunday. One of them just got promoted from the practice squad. And then the other one's been in the league since 2022 and has 193 career rushing yards. So, and I get the notion the overreaction right now is like anybody who plays against the Dolphins is going to rush for 100 yards.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I know that's the perception, but that's a little silly.
Oh, and, come on. You want to put some money on it this week? Because last I checked, you were missing your green dot player. He's not going to be playing because he's in concussion protocol. And
when did the green dot player turn into Roquan Smith or Bobby Wagner?
I didn't
or Ray
say
Lewis
he was, but I didn't say he was, but he kept you like the 30th ranked defense. There might be opportunity to become worse. Like here, that have they shown you anything that says that they can stop the run? Anything?
They had one game that actually where they didn't do too badly against the run.
They've given up 100 every game.
I do think you're underestimating just how bad the Chargers offensive line and their running game is. Yeah. Now, if they don't get pressure on Herbert, Herbert's going to carve him up because now he's got a decent wide receiver group. But that offense, the Dolphins need to get pressure on him, and they absolutely can win the game. One of those flip a coin and see where it turns out. I can see it going either way.
What? Here's final question for Alan Poupard. At what point do you have a fire sale for this team's talent? Trade deadline November 4th. When are you selling?
I think you go 1-5. You start making phone calls and say we're open for business. If they lose Sunday.
I think it's strange you guys think there's such a big difference. Like if they beat the Chargers on Sunday, like all of a sudden things are different.
They still
like,
have a pulse.
But do they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, why is it that big of a difference at this point? Like I think we can all agree that this team is incredibly flawed.
They're
and that the rebuild failed.
Flawed.
Omar admitted rebuild that failed. Earlier. The no rebuild question. Failed.
I this don't think we can debate that now. Can we debate
I just
that?
I don't think winning on Sunday, like, oh man, it's all better.
No, but you can't quit on the season. That's the point. When we start
they quit on the season when they let 17-0 get away in Carolina. That to me was the quitting on the season.
That's mismanagement on the season.
I don't care what you want to call it, what fancy word you want to throw in front of it. That was like you either win that game or you're done. At 17-0, that's brutal.
That was Tua's fault. Yep, Tua's fault.
I threw that in there for you, Omar.
That, absolutely. Everything's Tua's fault.
It's gonna be your fault soon here, Alan.
but Hollywood, here's the thing. If they do beat the Chargers, that they're 2-4 and you're going to Cleveland, which is going to be starting Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. And while he looked okay in his debut, didn't look like he was over his skis. There are some major physical limitations with him as a quarterback.
Great. And I'm going to have to listen to Joe for a week. Tell me how they're going to go up there and wax him like he did with Carolina. And then, we know how that ends. Alan, thank you for the time, my friend. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a good one, fellas.
All right, Alan Poupart, SI.com, and Omar, plug the
Dolphins
podcast
Collective,
again,
a podcast that features me, Poupart, Dougley Durong, and TD.
Beautiful. I am a fan, Omar. I'm a fan of
Four People Roundtable.
Anything you're doing, I'm a fan of. You know that, Omar. As much as we disagree,
you got me and TD together.
You always think I'm trying to stir stuff up,
you
and now
are.
I've made you a lifelong friend of some of these guys. So that's all we try to do, man. We're just trying to connect people.
I'm trying to connect
because
you
the
with
funniest,
Luke,
the
so
funniest
you can DJ
thing,
live.
I know. The funniest thing about this whole Dolphins thing and the fan base and everything is like everybody wants the same thing, right? Everybody wants a parade. Everyone wants them to win a playoff game. They want to win the AFC. They want to win a Super Bowl.
I want to be honest with you.
What?
I don't want a parade. I just want competence.
I know, but I'm saying the ultimate goal, right? Everyone has the same goal.
I want
in
competence
mind.
Before the parade.
There's no one out there that's like, I just want them to bottom out and lose.
No,
and lose
no,
and
no,
lose.
No, 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 no. The majority of this fan base wants them to bottom out.
Now they do.
Yes.
But in general, I'm just saying everybody wants the same thing. Just everyone's
nah,
got,
most
everyone
people
has,
came into the season wanting them
everyone
to bottom
has
out.
Very different. My point is that everyone has different, ideas of how to get there. Right. And now you are at a point where it feels hopeless and it's depressing. It is depressing because you probably could have ripped the Band-Aid off after last season and not had to go through this. This was your biggest fear. If you're a Dolphins fan, when Stephen Ross sent out that note, which they keep posting every single week, this was your biggest fear is that you were going to come back and be the same thing that you were.
No, they're worse.
Mediocre.
No,
and
they're worse.
What happened? You lost
Jonnu
Smith. You lost Jalen Ramsey. You know, you lost Tyreek. Like, yeah, you're worse.
They're not mediocre.
You came back.
They're bad.
You came back with a worse roster on paper and expected it to somehow be better.
Correct.
And that to me is like, it's a slap in the face of all the fans, because you get these guys that go up there and you're more worried about it than we are, and this and that. And it's a frustrating deal. Texas just asked if we've talked about Belichick yet. The story that keeps on giving, that North Carolina thing. I just love it. I love every second of it.
To talk about.
Oh, there is. There was some news that came out yesterday. So we can.
Belichick is fine.
Yeah, man. I am so against you and Allen. If you were going to turn the season around, which again, such a long shot, such a crazy thing. If you're going to turn it around, Carolina was probably your opportunity, man.
You've seen this team turn the season around a couple of times after bad starts. 1-7, they turned it around.
This team.
This franchise.
Every year is different.
Every year is completely different.
The head from
coach
one
last year.
Every year is
started
different.
Nothing
happened last year. Has anything to do with
finished
this year.
6-3.
Okay. I am looking at the team that they have put on the field.
It's not
and
good.
If you were up 17-0 playing against Bryce Young, who looks
maybe that was like your turning
could be
point.
Playing. I couldn't even play high school football. I probably couldn't see over an offensive line in high school.
Him and two are the same size.
Well, that's part of a bigger problem. But I just can't imagine how you could watch that game, see them melt down the way that they did, and think there is still some kind of light at the end of the tunnel here. Anyway, we have to take a break. We'll be back on QAM.
I want to tell you about Dr. Barry.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in on QAM here on a Thursday morning. Hope everyone's having a great start to their day here. Sun is shining here, Omar. It's a beautiful morning in South Florida.
Even though you don't have a Dolphins win?
Yep. Even though we don't
and
have
you,
a
and your team is
Dolphins
circling
win
the drain.
They beat the Jets. You always have that.
Jets are bad.
And we always have the Hurricanes.
Wouldn't it be great?
We have a bye week this week, by the way. Canes will play a week from Friday for those wondering. And by the way, someone offered you tickets.
Yeah.
Or a single ticket. I could try to find this text from earlier.
I need a pair.
I think they might want to sit with you.
And get your
hot takes during the games. Whatever it is you talk about during these games.
You know I'm coming to you. You're
not sitting
master.
Anywhere near me at those games.
Oh, yeah. We do have that booth. Okay.
I find you to be... As far as the Canes go, I just don't want you around.
Okay, let me.
You're a dear friend, but we need things to keep going well with one of our football teams. And
but
I think you bring a bad mojo to the table.
Wouldn't it be great if you learn how to finish games as a Hurricanes team?
I think the Hurricanes have had some trouble closing out games. Yes, I think I am not.
Are you going to be a title contender if you don't learn how to stop playing with your food?
I think that there is a little bit of we're going to take our foot off the gas and we are going to play not to lose happening in these games against the good teams. Yes, I do think that has happened. As far as can you keep getting away with it?
No.
You probably will get close at some point.
You have no room for a slip up here.
They need to win out. I think is pretty accurate.
Absolutely need to win out.
They could probably afford one loss.
No, let's not.
Maybe,
no.
But
no, because if you want to set yourself,
the problem
up,
is the schedule is so friendly for Miami the rest of the way. Like,
there's no such thing. Friendly schedule.
I know. I know what you're saying. You don't play Georgia Tech.
I know,
but
you know who you are.
I know, and I get that. I get that Miami has lost that game for 20 years. I get it. I completely get it.
And then snowballed after they lose that game.
This game on Friday night, a week from Friday, Louisville.
Yeah, dangerous game.
That's a little bit of a dangerous game. At SMU, probably dangerous game. The two that are a little bit, well, not the two, because Virginia Tech stinks, but at Pitt, the end of the season.
Virginia Tech can still get you.
Look, man, I happen to believe that this team is just, at this moment, does not have a glaring weakness. Right? Like, you watch Miami play, you watch the FSU game, you told me you did while you were in Charlotte.
Absolutely.
What did you notice? And I do respect your football opinion to some extent. What did you notice from that game that you could look at and be like, that is a weakness of this team? And I would challenge you to say that there is none.
Second half play calling.
But that's not a real, I'm talking about player personnel.
Oh, player personnel
on the field.
No, yeah. No, I mean, but you're relatively healthy right now.
Yes.
And you're not going to be forever. And I don't want to manifest that.
I know, but you also know that every single sport, it takes a little bit of good luck
to win
a championship.
And it takes a good roster building. And they built the roster. But you know what would help this team? If they can finish off their opponents in the third and then start to play the younger players in the fourth so that they can gain some experience. Because that's how the Hurricanes built great dynasty. They built the great dynasty that they were. Wow.
I don't know how many of these games are going to be blowouts where that can necessarily
happen. I don't say you need a blowout. I just said you got to get your best players off the field, and then maybe their replacements can get a little oiled up a little bit.
It is like
have some film that you could learn from.
It's unfortunate that what happened in the FSU game, because it almost,
and the Florida game,
because look what stands out. That was a blowout. What stands out in your mind, right? When you look at these games, you're going to remember the end, and the game got close, and they had an onside kick, and if they get the onside kick back, they got a chance to win the game. It's like you kind of forget the fact that the first half, Miami's coaching and Miami's game plan, they put on a masterclass.
Yeah.
That was one of the most well-coached, well-executed game plans.
It wasn't a great team
you will ever see.
I know.
Who, Florida State?
Yeah, they just beat Virginia the week before.
But I would disagree with that. I think Florida State's actually a pretty good team. I would disagree with that. I think Virginia's pretty good, too.
Florida or Florida State? Yeah, Florida State just beat LSU.
I said this, Jamie went to Florida. I said I think Florida is a really good team. I've thought that since I saw them play South Florida early in the season. I think the Gators' defense is elite. I think they showed that again on Saturday against Texas. I think their quarterback has been a train wreck, and he started to play a little better on Saturday.
He just got some of his weapons back.
They beat Texas.
Yeah.
Right? And the Gators could have thrown in the towel a long time ago. They could have thrown in the towel weeks back, but they did not. They keep playing, and they're a talented team. I really believe that. And
Gators don't lose that game to USF. People aren't batting an eye at the Gators right now.
He's right. Jamie said this the other day to me. We were talking back there, like, if the Gators, what would their record be? 3-2?
It would be 3-2 with a loss at Miami, who's a top 5 team in the country, and then a loss at LSU, who's a top 25 team in the country, solid SEC team on the road, night game. Your only loss are those two, and then like the USF loss is what's killing them right now. But
yes,
they are a decent football team as far as college football goes. They have a very solid defense, and their offense struggling right now.
So you're not holding up your pitchfork for Billy Napier. I see.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Not quite yet.
Texas
win bought them a little bit more time here. Yeah. Let's see how they do against A&M this weekend. I'm worried about that A&M quarterback they got over there.
They pay money.
Marcel Reed's the real deal over there.
Speaking of Texas quarterbacks, that Arch Manning is so bad. He's so bad, Omar, that guy Feinbaum, who talked him up and said he's the next Tebow or whatever, he's switching to politics, I think. He's going to run for Senate or something or other.
You're kidding, right?
No, I am not kidding. He's actually he's switching to politics because he was so bad on that Arch Manning. He looked so bad
in that game. I was at the Texas Florida game this past weekend. He was just missing reads, overthrowing, underthrowing, just all over the map.
Yeah.
And his we've seen that all season up. Long. Like I don't know how this guy was primed to be.
The hype, man.
They were asking, like, they did him a massive disservice. They were very unfair the way that they treated him and all this hype and everything around him. Speaking of hype, and someone mentioned this earlier, just to get this out of the way too, there was a story that came out yesterday that said that North Carolina was working to part ways or buy out or something with Bill Belichick and his crew of NFL has-beens that are just awful, absolutely awful what they do at North Carolina. That thing is not going to get any better, I don't believe, under that staff of people there.
No. That's not fair. It takes a minute to get your culture.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Not in college football, it doesn't. Ask FSU how quickly you can turn things around. FSU won 2 games last year.
But
they cracked the top 10, if I'm not mistaken.
They still installed their culture, their program, their
man,
way.
You can fix it quick. But North Carolina looks like a high school team. I mean, they are so bad. And they paid a lot of money to a lot of people over there. Nevertheless, they came out. Bill Belichick said he's committed. The North Carolina AD said, that they're committed to this thing. And it's like, well, you don't really have much of a choice, it would seem, at this point. But that story has been absolutely phenomenal and could not be going any better over there in Chapel Hill. Texas said UF better than FSU. Another one said UF imploded against USF. Yeah, that game, I watched every snap of that game. It was the biggest disaster. I've never seen a team that just like so badly wanted to hand the other team. The Bulls didn't want to take it. But that game was a mess for Florida, but they have looked a whole heck of a lot better since then. All right, we got to take a pause. We have the 9 o'clock hour coming up. Omar, we got a lot of Dolphin stuff to get to. We have some sound we can play for you, and we'll also hit your text 305-567-0560 as we continue on here on this Thursday morning on QAM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope everyone's having a good Thursday morning here. This is a strange story here, Omar, real quick, just to get off of the Dolphins for 2 seconds. So LeBron James had his second decision. You were asking me during the break when I think he's going to retire. I have no idea. He doesn't seem to be slowing down, which is kind of the crazy thing, right? I mean, he still plays at an incredibly high level. He makes a ton of money to still play. He's the top attraction in the NBA still, right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned. So when he announced he was doing a second decision, there were two schools of thought on this. One was like he's going to announce his retirement and do a whole Last Dance thing. The next one was that he's just, plugging some kind of product. I thought he was going to be plugging Amazon Prime Day because I know he's involved with Amazon. Ended up he was plugging Hennessy.
Yeah,
selling
baby,
like limited LeBron bottles of Hennessy.
VSOP.
Anyway, what happened was, and this was widely reported, people started scooping up the tickets on the secondary market for what would have been his final game and his final games in different cities, right? And if he came out and said he was retiring, I would have tried to get my hands on the Heat tickets.
Yeah.
For that game, that's for sure. But nevertheless, he was just promoting a bottle of liquor. He is getting sued currently. A lawsuit was filed by a fan, a 29-year-old lifelong Laker fan.
Oh, my God.
Filed a lawsuit in small claims court in Los Angeles County on Wednesday, claiming James owes him $865.66 after he says LeBron seemingly intimated that he was about to announce his retirement. He says that when LeBron on Tuesday revealed his big decision was merely an ad for Hennessy, the tickets lost almost all of their value.
Sucker.
Now, he continues on here. He says, James now owes him because of, quote, fraud, deception, misrepresentation, and any and all basis of legal recovery.
It's called marketing, and LeBron never told you he was going to retire. LeBron never announced he was going to retire. LeBron hasn't even hinted he's going to retire. The one thing he has said is that he's not intending on playing with his son, Bryce James. So Bryce is committed to Arizona. He's going to go to Arizona this year. If we pull a Bronny, and come out after our one season of college athletics, which is required for you to play nowadays.
You get the whole family on the same team. I thought it was a cool story that his son was on the team. I don't know if people were upset.
That's what professional athletes are about. Privilege. Yeah.
LeBron has given enough to the game.
Yes, absolutely.
Where he can have his son on the team.
Absolutely.
I'm all with you. You know, LeBron gave up the whole, like, I get to coach my kids' team now and all that. Like, LeBron gave all that up, right?
Yes.
So that he could be the best basketball player of his generation.
Correct.
So I'm fine with what everyone's to do, but to sue him is
yeah.
I hope they make an example out of this person. I don't know what the power of the court can do, but back down
because LeBron is going to hit you. LeBron is going to hit you with legal fees.
I hope they
and
do.
His lawyers are way more expensive than your $800. LeBron,
I hope they say, yeah. I hope LeBron sends his $1,000 an hour attorney in there.
Yeah,
and says, yeah, you know what? And you're going to pay my legal fees too, bro.
Yeah,
you want to do this?
Pocket change, like what's in LeBron's car is probably worth more than what he's suing him for. But this is about principality for a lot of these professional athletes.
LeBron probably doesn't even know how to pay $865, right? I'm guessing LeBron has people that handle all of his stuff.
Yeah,
LeBron doesn't go to the store and buy stuff. You think I wonder if a guy like LeBron even has like his own methods of payment.
Yeah, of course.
What does he pay for? All of his clothes are free.
No, he buys
everything he wears is free.
No, absolutely not.
Who is charging LeBron James for clothes?
Not
Nike.
He's got to get custom stuff.
Okay. I'm guessing most of the stuff in LeBron's life is free.
LeBron doesn't wear.
I know he doesn't just wear Nike. I'm guessing most of the stuff in his life is free. You,
but these athletes, they have very expensive tastes.
But LeBron can't go to like Publix. He can't go to a grocery store.
I don't know about that. I think LeBron is going to Publix. I think, especially when they're on the road.
Cover athletes. Your takes, I find wild sometimes.
We interviewed Andrew Wiggins the other day, and he told us he never goes to the store. He has people that go to the store for him. So if Andrew Wiggins doesn't go to Publix and Whole Foods, LeBron's not going.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. But there is no way you're going to, like, when LeBron was playing down here.
You think LeBron doesn't pump his own gas?
No, I don't. I don't think LeBron drives himself anywhere.
No, you see him. There's video of him driving himself to games.
What, in those commercials? In those Kia commercials?
No, in real.
Like, yeah, in those commercials where he claims to drive a Kia, but then he shows himself driving to the game in a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. LeBron absolutely drives himself. I've seen him drive himself to games.
Maybe, but yes, LeBron does not go out to grocery stores and does not go to stores. Like, you're not going to be walking around the mall one day and run into LeBron.
Think about it. Okay,
I mean, Messi has gone to Publix.
He's in
my neighborhood doing these things too.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you. Listen, there's talk that Beyonce like wears costumes to go to like Target, just like a regular person. These people want to do these normal things,
and they should be allowed to. The problem is. For
Michael
somebody
Jackson
like,
used to dress
the problem
in costume.
Is for somebody like LeBron, his autograph is worth in the four figures minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. So people.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. A LeBron signature is worth well in excess of $1,000. So people are going to want to get a piece of these people when they go out. That
signature
is the cold
on
reality.
Merchandise, not just my signature on a signed
piece. That is
paper.
The cold reality. Hey, man, look, if I was walking around a Publix and I saw LeBron James, and this has happened to me once when I was much, much younger. When I was in, high school, maybe early college, I was in Chicago.
Okay.
I went down to a drugstore, you know, to buy something, whatever. And Ray Allen was walking around. This is way before he was with the Heat or any of that. He happened to be one of my favorite players, you know, and so I saw him in the store.
And I know you freaked out.
I did freak out. I went over to him and I said, "Hey,
such
a
jock."
I said, "You think there's any chance?" I you know, whipped open my flip phone. I said, "Any chance we take a picture?" And he was like, "You know, I don't really want to do a picture, you know, right now." But he goes, "I'll sign something for you."
Okay.
So I went to the sports aisle in the Walgreens and I bought a little crap like outdoor basketball and a marker, and he signed it for me.
Okay.
I still have it to this day. But that's, again, that's the problem with like, I feel bad for those guys.
Did you ever tell him when you were covering the team?
That I asked him for his autograph back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
But I was fans of all those guys.
I know you are.
You know, like I got to cover the guys I was fans of. I watched Dwayne play in high school and I got to, you know, go in the locker room with him. I didn't tell him I like idolized him and was watching him in the 400 level when I was in high school. I'd tell him that, but you know, it's just
I'm so numb to now I am.
But if LeBron came walking into, you know, into Publix,
I'm telling you, LeBron goes to Publix.
I'd probably try to get him to sign something. We got to go to break. 9 o'clock hours next on QAM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.